world to have been colonized. This is probably the last place in the world to have been colonized. This is probably the last place in the world to have been colonized. This is probably the last place in the world to have been colonized. And in the 1860s, there were villages, you know, down on Dallas Road, the Quagyot people were down in that area. The Haida people, the Nuchanos people, they all had their own camps. But a terribly unfortunate thing happened in 1864 when one of the passengers on one of the tall ships brought smallpox to the area. It desecrated this coast. But I bring that up because I think you need to be aware of a period of time that we're still overcoming. Within a decade of having half of the population be lost to smallpox and other virgin soil diseases like measles and mumps and chickenpox, the reserves were gazetted in this area. Only 5% of the land base that once was our sacred land was left for the people of this area without major treaties. Within another decade, the government of Canada outlawed every cultural practice known to the people on this coast for the anti-potlatch laws in 1884. And in that same decade, our children were removed for the first run of residential schools. Most of these things carried on until 1951. So we consider this time one of rebirth and awakening. Just awakening, really, rather than a renaissance, because these our practices had to go underground for so long. But can you imagine all of the close to 30 cultures in British Columbia losing their population, their land, their children and their culture within 40 years? We're still reeling from terrible learned social behaviors from that time. But I want to remind you of one very important thing. Fixing it with the same kind of oppression doesn't fix it. It buries us even deeper into that dark place. We will never be able to go back to the 1850s. We'll never be able to go back to that time of contact. But what we can do, because we all have prophecies within our cultures that speak of this time together, if we can take the core values that were demonstrated to you in a very small way here tonight, if we can take those core values and work together hand in hand and build the bridges, we will have survival not just for ourselves, but for you as well. We will have survival not just for ourselves, but for you as well. We will have survival not just for ourselves, but for you as well. We will have survival not just for ourselves, but for you as well. We will have survival not just for ourselves, but for you as well. You know, we work tirelessly in a political world to learn to fight in a manner that has the ear of those closest to the government. We work very hard to learn and adapt, to dress and to speak in a way that makes what we speak about less scary. But every time we do that, it takes us one step beyond and further away from who we really are. 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 Further away from who so we really are. Many of us have a hard time walking between those two worlds. Quaxistella never went to school a day in his life. And at age 75, he said to me, "You have to explain something to me." He's saying this in Quaquila. "Why do we have to prove by Mamatha writing what God gave us? I don't get it. I don't get why we need to have a journal from a non-Aboriginal fur trader to validate that we actually fish something that we have songs and dances and nuyams, stories that talk about it for thousands of years. And we dig up areas that are 10,000 years old in our area that talk about having fished and done this kind of work. He said, I don't get it. I don't understand why they have to have witnessed it for it to have happened. It's very odd indeed. And I agree with that. It is very odd, and I believe that we're in a process now, instead of working with what we have and who we are using all of our precious resources of our youth to prove what we did have. It is a very backward system, and I believe that that is probably the very end of a time that we have to be cautious about more than ever right now. Right now, we could very easily lose our identity with this next struggle. We could very easily lose who we are, and all this 200 years of survival will be nothing if we do not remember those foundations, and we cannot sit with each other and at minimum pay homage and honor to these people who host us. I want to speak for a few moments about the Coast Salish people, and I want to speak at their generosity. You know, the capital of this province is in Coast Salish territory, and the largest city in this province is in Coast Salish territory. They are the humblest and most generous people because they allow people like myself of a different culture to speak of their own culture and to practice it as well. And you know, in times of old, that would have been cause for a war. It would have been, had we come in and asserted ourselves and demonstrated who we are, that would have been us trying to take over. So you can just multiply that in your mind, how many cultures are here doing that. So we've become very careful when we work together in different nations gathering together, that we understand that the Coast Salish people of this territory, the Lekwamen territory, of the Saanich territory, that we have to be very mindful of introducing ourselves as we come here to their ancestors and humbly ask for their acceptance to be able to do their work here. Anything less than that is, it doesn't belong in this world. It's adopted from another 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 world.